This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Measuring the Damage.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Trade in the shares of 45 listed Chinese companies will be suspended tomorrow. The firms are based in Sichuan Province, where the major earthquake hit today, killing thousands. Just several hours after the quake, China's central bank announced moves to tighten liquidity in the banking system. New numbers today show inflation in China remains stubbornly high. Marketplace's Scott Tong has more on that from Shanghai.
Consumer prices in April jumped 8.5% over last year. That's just shy of a 12-year high. Most of the sticker shock is food, pork and cooking oil, for instance. Those prices may fall back, but the cost of everyday goods like toothpaste and diapers is creeping up too. And the global fear is Chinese factories are hiking prices for everyone. They face rising material and energy costs, plus rising wages, and a Chinese currency up 15% against the dollar. Here's economist Paul Cavi of Macquarie Securities.
The cost of goods coming out of China does go up. Depending how the rest of the world is by then faring in terms of commodity prices and these other inflationary pressures that are currently being seen, this could be quite troubling for central banks around the world.
He says it would be at least a year before the banks start freaking out. Still, many economists think China has reached a turning point, that the era of exporting ever lower prices is over. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Sprint Nextel rang in a loud first-quarter loss with more than a million subscribers saying bye-bye. Meanwhile, BlackBerry got bold today. The company unveiled a new model. Alisa Roth explains.
The new BlackBerry Bold will use a different kind of network, which will let it run all kinds of new features. It'll be easier to download music, surf the net, and watch videos, and it'll have more processing power so it can run all kinds of business software. It'll also get a sleek new look, a nod, some say, to its stylish competitor, the iPhone. BlackBerry's maker, Research in Motion, already has around 14 million users in 135 countries. It's doubled its subscriber numbers every year for the last three. But it's got competition on all sides. The top rival in the U.S. is the Apple iPhone, which has been trying to woo more business customers lately. The biggest winner in all this may be carrier AT&T. It has dibs on both the BlackBerry and the iPhone. In the Big Apple, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
The Dow is up 87 points to 12,833. The Nasdaq is up 28 points to 2,474. The S&P 500 is up 8 points to 1,396. Asian markets were up today, and in Europe, markets closed higher. It is Upfront Week in New York. That's when the networks unveil their new shows for advertisers who then prepay for commercial time. Last year, they spent around $9.5 billion. Stacey Vanek-Smith tunes in this year's Outlook.
Network TV audiences have been shrinking for years, but ad prices keep going up.
The networks get rewarded for failure.
Horizon Media's Brad Adgate says TV has gotten away with this because it's traditionally been the only way to reach a really big and broad national audience. But Adgate says advertisers are getting tired of paying more for less.
To get the same viewers you got the year before, you have to buy more commercial time. Now more than ever, marketers have other platforms in which to spend their dollars.
Namely online, where advertising and audiences are growing. But Hal Vogel of Vogel Capital Management says primetime ads are still the best way to grab a lot of eyeballs.
Otherwise, you have to go and buy 12 different cable networks and shop around for the best websites, in a sense picking up small crumbs to make a big pie.
Vogel predicts ad prices will be up around 5% over last year. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, committed to writing about issues that matter and the connections between them. The Economist. See the world differently. At newsstands and economist.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at medtronic.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
The FTC receives hundreds of thousands of complaints about internet fraud. But with all the focus on spam, we may be forgetting about the good old-fashioned hard copy junk. Sally Hership reports.
I recently got spammed. It was the usual thing about a distant relative who died, leaving me millions. What was unusual was it showed up in my mailbox, the real one. I wondered, are consumers getting better at detecting email scams? Are criminals turning back to traditional mail? How can regular mail spam possibly be cost-effective? I decided to go straight to the source. I called my spammer.
Hi, is this Mr. Rosso?
Problem was, once I told him I was a journalist, he didn't want anything to do with me.
Hello? Hello?
So I decided to talk to Sally Greenberg, executive director of the National Consumers League. She says certain crimes like fake check schemes are on the rise. In fact, she just received a bad check for $17,000.
It looks legitimate. There is nothing counterfeit looking about it, and it's drawn on a regular bank, and it came overnight mail. It's the kind of thing that has the markers of legitimacy and very, very tempting to put in the bank.
The scam works like this. You receive a fake check. Your bank cashes it, and the scammer then asks you to cover taxes or fees. By the time your bank finds out the check is no good, the criminal is long gone. Greenberg says the average loss from scams like these is $3,000, certainly enough to keep spammers in paper and envelopes. Jim Van Dyke is the founder of Javelin Strategy and Research. He says people need to remember old rules, even when they switch to new technologies.
They're being more vigilant about the electronic channels, and they're not paying attention as much to the old-fashioned ones.
In other words, people tend to pay more attention to what comes through their email than through their mailbox.
People often assume that criminals have some sort of a bias toward new technology. Like criminals think new technology is cool and fun. But what we see is that criminals have no bias at all.
What they really want are your personal details, and they'll do whatever it takes to get them. But Van Dyke says most people lose their identity when they lose their personal effects. So if you want to play it safe, leave your checkbook at home. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Send mail, not spam, to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.